Perhaps you have heard the expression, seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. The insinuation being that those who see the world this way don't see the negatives in life. Everything is perfect and cheery. No need to be upset, no need to worry. And perhaps they fail to see situations are difficult for others because their own situation doesn't carry the same concerns. And sometimes it might be nice to see the world in such a way, to avoid seeing the struggle which others go through, to only see the positives in any given situation. And as nice as that might be, and some days I wish everything was great and cheery, it is far from reality. The world is not rose-colored. There are as many shades to a situation as we see colors in the rainbow. For every bright and vibrant aspect of life, there is perhaps a dark underbelly representing the struggle that you and those around you experience. No one is immune. Some of us perhaps just ignore it better than others. You are all, I'm sure, familiar with Mother Teresa of Calcutta, of the work that she did and the legacy which she left. What you may not be aware of is that she left a record of her lifetime of struggle. A struggle with the darkness that plagued her because for more than half of her life, she did not feel the presence of Jesus. However, among Christians, she has generally been accepted as the embodiment of a modern saint. Her work in the ghettos of Calcutta, working with people that society wanted nothing to do with, are a modern legend. Even those outside of a Christian community would indicate that her work was life-giving and of great worth. But she persisted in this work, even when she did not personally feel the presence of God. She continued to be faithful to what she understood to be her calling. And some of the people that Mother Teresa worked with were orphans, those left by their parents, those orphaned by society, cast to the margins, forgotten and unwanted. And her ministry was to this particular group of vulnerable people. And ministering to them didn't make her rich by earthly means, but demonstrated the grace and love which we experience from God. And in the Old Testament, one of the most important things that God's people could do was care for the orphans, widows, and the strangers in their midst. And if you ever watch TV, or if you're familiar with some of the fire departments or perhaps the police departments, what they have is the Orphans and Widows Funds, and that's the fund to take care of the families of fallen firefighters or police officers. And that link comes directly from the Old Testament, this commandment to take care of orphans and widows. This commandment was central to the identity of God's people because it's central to God's identity. And one of the reasons that the ancient Israelites got into trouble with God over and over again is because they forgot to keep this commandment. And if you read through the prophets of the Old Testament, you will find ample evidence of this. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, the principal failing of the priest and the Levite in that story is that they don't care for the stranger who's at the side of the road. It's the Samaritan who does that. They forgot that they were supposed to demonstrate God's love for them by loving others. And Jesus teaches us that loving others is second only to our love for God. And when we consider the work of Mother Teresa, the command of God in the Old Testament to care for those who cannot care for themselves, and the teachings of Jesus to love our neighbor, we are surrounded by a great sense of comfort. And this same sense of comfort is at the heart of our passage from John's Gospel this morning. And this passage is a continuation of the farewell discourse that Jesus was sharing with his disciples from last week. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And Jesus goes to prepare a place for us. And today we are reminded by Jesus that we will not be alone. Jesus promises not to leave us as orphans. And then in the next breath tells us of the coming of the Holy Spirit, a powerful reminder that we are not alone. We find many reminders about how we are alone or isolated. We see them within Scripture and stories about Job. We find it repeated in Lamentations and in the Psalms. And we find themes of isolation within the society that we are a part, on television, in literature, and in music. Recently, I had the opportunity to rediscover a set of lyrics which speak to loneliness. These words are from a song called Like a Stone by the band Audioslave. In your house, I long to be, room by room, patiently. I'll wait for you there like a stone. I'll wait for you there, alone. Now these lyrics from this song, I said I revisited this week because the songwriter, Chris Cornell, took his own life this week. And when you consider these words, the wider context of the song and his death, a whole new level of meaning is introduced. And yet what I find compelling about this story, tragic as it is that within it I see the promise of Jesus Christ. That yes, there are rooms set aside for us. That our loved ones wait for us and that they are there with Jesus. But the difference is, we are not alone. We are not isolated. We are not shut out. We are loved by God, by Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is with us still. We are not alone. This is the power behind today's passage, which finds itself embedded in a section of the gospel where Jesus is saying goodbye. Theologian Samuel Cruz writes, "This gospel passage speaks to a very human reality. The fear we feel when we lose a loved one who played an important role in our lives. Those of us who have had such an experience know that we can become shaken and concerned about the future. It's easy to think, how should I proceed when this person passes on? How can we live up to the example of our mothers, fathers, our mentors, our husbands, wives, our children? Who can replace powerful public figures? Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Mother Teresa." And I can imagine the disciples probably asked themselves similar questions. How can we keep the commandments, our faith, and continue our struggle without the guidance of Jesus? Well, that same spirit would not allow for the exclusion of a woman who was a Samaritan from the blessings of the kingdom, just as the spirit will not allow for the exclusion of any among us today. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us still in this place at this time. This passage is rich with theological imagery about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology, we would call it in seminary. And often with this passage, this is where we might start and stop. And as wonderful as it is to expound upon the blessings of the Spirit, this passage is much simpler. In fact, we might even call this passage easy. Don't leave people alone. It seems so easy, but perhaps it is the most important thing that we can do. We are all able to feel and experience abundant love. Our passage today is God's promise that we will never be alone. Another way to consider this passage is by focusing on the opening sentence. If the command is to love God, and if God is love, then to love God implicitly means loving love, lovingly, and practically, leaving none orphaned. Leave no one alone, for we have not been left alone. We are in God, and God is in us, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we've been called to love one another. As Christians, we don't see the world through rose-colored glasses. We view the world through glasses tinged with the shade, which is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this means we are called to see things through the lens of love. And when you do that, it changes you. When you see the world in this way, even when circumstances dictate that it might not be your first choice, well, then you realize that the world can be a rosy place, a place worth being, filled with people worth loving, celebrating the goodness that comes in knowing that God will never leave us alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.